It's the Puppet Parent Podcast, episode 38, Insurrection. In this episode, we'll talk about Mabu Mines, Peter and Wendy, Tim Lagasse's A Show of Hands, the awful insurrection in Washington, and our parents finally on vacation. It's all coming up next on the Puppet Parent Podcast. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another episode of the Puppet Parent Podcast. That's right. We're puppeteers.
We're parents.
We podcast. My name is Chad.
My name is Z.
That's right. We're married.
Married.
Oh, we got two kids, 5-year-old and a soon-to-be 8-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
They grow up quick. It's just like everybody says.
It is just like everybody says.
That's
right. So, yeah, hard to believe in a little over a month and a half, we will have an 8-year-old at the very end of February.
Mm-hmm.
He's already a little bummed that it's going to be, his birthday's going to be here. Mm-hmm. So
if you're listening to this in the future, this is January 2021. So the vaccine is here. We're waiting for the end of this global pandemic where you can have regular birthday parties.
Yeah.
Although I did a birthday party today. I'll tell you about that a little bit later. But first, some breaking news. Breaking news, Z, this week there was a semi-armed insurrection in our nation's capital.
So for anybody who's been listening to the podcast since the beginning, maybe I've mentioned it a couple times now. Maybe I think on the podcast that like one of my greatest fears that seems completely like crazy is a civil war. I think I may have said that on a previous podcast, and then I'll say, and I know that this sounds crazy, but that's like my greatest, you know, thing that I think is like the worst thing that could possibly happen. And I will tell you that this week I really, really, really got scared, really scared. And I think that I have fully realized what my greatest fear is in this entire world, and that is living through a war. That if you had asked me before this past week, what's your greatest fear? I don't know that I would have been able to answer that. But I think that now I am able to answer that pretty clearly. And because I just, it's like the thing that makes me feel like I just want to hide. I just want to hide. So, and then watching everything unfold this week and then still having to try to get my work done too was crazy. That was all crazy. We have people in the chat saying that they love puppets and
yay,
that they're our fans. Well, hi everybody. Hi fans.
Hey there.
And puppet lovers. I'm here just talking about how messed up our country is
right now. Good to see you.
But puppets are great.
Welcome. Right? Right? But pro tip, if you're over there on YouTube, if you're doing live chat too often, we think that you're a spam bot and we will ban you. So get ready, because I got the ban hammer coming. Mm-hmm. But I will take the love and the amazing comments. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But often I listen to video game, like live video game music channels on mm-hmm. YouTube. And often there are spam bots just going, I love you, kisses, hearts in different languages. And yep, there it is. Yep, God is a woman. It's happening. We got a spammer over on YouTube.
They're just writing things.
Hey, anything possible. Anything in English, usually.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, all right. Cool. So we're just going to let that roll.
I mean, I like Ariana Grande as much as the next person, really. She's awesome. We could hang. There it is. Kisses.
Yep, yay. Kisses. It's happening.
You knew. You called it, man.
Yep.
Okay.
So, anyways, a live chat over on YouTube. It's a little wild right now.
The wild rest. Oh, their name is Rosa Milano.
There it is. Unwanted commercial content or spam.
Ooh.
Goodbye.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
I'll take a couple kisses, but then and then it's done.
It got so, weird. So we anyway, were talking
so anyway,
about...
I'm sure you've seen, because American news kind of dominates the international media. For some weird reason, we're a dumpster fire that just never seems to get put out, right? We're always hitting those next news cycles, so...
Well, you know what was crazy?
Yes.
Is that I was sitting, you know, here doing my work for my work, because mm-hmm. I have another job where I work for the Henson Foundation, and so I was working for the foundation, and I had the... C-SPAN on because I'm that person who likes to watch C-SPAN. When important political legislation is getting passed, it's interesting to me to listen to the legislators, is that the proper congresspeople, mm-hmm. talk about the different things. And every once in a while, somebody says something that's very, very striking. And I, one way or another, sometimes you're like, oh my goodness, I cannot believe somebody said that. Who are you? And where are you from? Hmm. And then sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, that was a really amazing speech and quite profound. And who are you and where are you from? Because I would like to know more about who you are. So, you know, I'm just having that in the background. And I had heard the whole dissent thing how they weren't going to accept the votes from Arizona, and then they had to go into their separate houses to debate it. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to take forever. They're going to do this for every single state that they have an issue with.
Right, all the swing states.
Mm-hmm. And then like hearing the Republicans starting to speak about why they were so justified in not accepting Arizona's votes was like, really difficult to listen to. But then all of a sudden it just got weird. Like, because it all happened in a sense, like things started to feel like, wait, why are they going into recess? They were just in the middle of talking because I wasn't watching CNN. You know, I'm watching, like, the boring C-SPAN video. And all of a sudden they're saying, oh, there's people who broke into the Capitol building. So then I'm like, wait, what? So then I go to the New York Times website because they also had the live kind of, like, C-SPAN-y type of thing. But then they had live commentary, like Twitter almost, like, going in a feed next to it. And so I'm watching that. And then they're importing anything that is, like, actually relevant from Twitter, from Reddit, into their feed. And so I'm seeing it all unfolding in this, like, minute by minute, like, oh my god, it was crazy. And I'm like sitting down here in this, again, like, kind of like bunker kind of situation in Springville, like, totally isolated from the rest of the world, watching maybe a coup. Am I watching a coup?
I didn't know
at that point, but like, I was like, and then I'm texting you and saying, Chad, it's bad. It's really bad. Like, I'm kind of freaking out right now. And you're like, well, it's going to be okay. You know? And
that sounds like me.
And I'm just like, I don't know that it is. I mean, and I have to tell you, I'm still not fully okay. Like, I just want to be real about it. Like, I'm kind of messed up from seeing it, from knowing that happened. It feels like, that person is back in.
Oh, don't worry. I shadow banned them again.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Just knowing that all those people are, like, so emboldened now to feel like that could happen. Like, watching the footage of the police officers just, like, letting them walk past and walk into the building. But then, I don't know, it just all felt so messed up. And then after it was all over and then the Congress reconvened, there were still Republicans who were like, we will not accept the vote. I can't. It's so messed up. And I'm so fearful, just total honesty right now. I'm so fearful for the next week. Everything feels so messed up. I love this country. I do. And I'm so heartbroken about all of it. And I'm scared. Both. And our lives are like so, like, not, everything is messed up. Everything's messed up for like a year, you know? It's like, I just want to be living back in our place. I just want our kids to be back in school. I just want the stupid virus to be over. I just, like, and why was this man ever elected? Okay, fine, he was elected, but like, why does it have to be this horrible? You know? All right, so that's where I'm at. That's my breaking news.
Yay. So if you're just tuning in, so
anybody relate to any of that?
If you're taking like a history class on this week in American politics, so this is what happened. So if you have no idea, if you're tuning in, if you're like my friend from South Africa who's like, hey, what's going on? There was a massive protest outside of the Capitol building, which is where Congress, our parliament, meets in Washington, D.C. Well, the protest was spurred on by the president and his...
He had a rally.
And his sons and cronies in their rally telling...
Down the street.
Goading everybody to go to the Capitol building where they're holding this mostly ceremonial vote to say, yes, all the votes that we got for the presidential election count. Like all the electoral votes. Got it. And some Congress people decided at that time to do their own protest and say, well, we should definitely do a thorough investigation into the election because there were all these irregularities, even though there's no proof and there's no evidence and they were defeated in court. All their court challenges were all laughingly thrown out time and time and time again. They were still going through with it. Meanwhile, the Capitol Police, who are in charge of protecting that specific building, were totally understaffed. So it was this perfect storm of a coup that happens. And if those people who showed up to the rally, who were extremely pumped up, flag waving, t-shirt wear, like red hat wearing MAGA enthusiasts, if they had been armed, this would have been a totally different story. But they were mostly not armed, even though a lot of them were cops or ex-cops or ex-military. Forced their way into the building, and the police that were there were totally overwhelmed. And at a certain point, they just had to just let them have the run of the place while they waited for backup.
Well, but I'm not hearing that enough from the news outlets that I read. That, which is the Times.
They're starting to add that to the story because I was present in many classes for corrections where they teach you about like batons and riot gear and what to do during a riot, and I produced some videos related to that stuff. I know, looking at this line of police, that you can't just have five people, right, against 1,000 people. Even if you're in like a nice like sitting in front of a doorway or like in like a advantageous situation, you can't just have five people against 1,000. And one of those cops got dragged into the crowd and beaten and eventually died. So they just had to step back and say, all right, just let him have it.
And
until
I get
it's time.
That, but then there were also cops that were taking selfies with some of them. So
yes.
I don't know. It just is, the whole thing is messed up.
Yes.
It's messed up. I mean, I just don't, this is the worst fever dream this entire year, this last year. It just feels so, like, I don't know, unstable. Everything feels so unstable right now. I want to wrap Joe Biden in bubble wrap along with Barack Obama and Michelle Obama and the Clintons. Like, I just want to wrap them all up and make sure that they stay safe from all of these crazy people.
I mean, you know, they do have security.
I understand, but I want extra. I want the extra security. I want them in a Kevlar... you know, suit, like with a Kevlar face mask. Like, I don't know.
I think, yeah, absolutely. I think everyone's going to have additional security.
There's a part of me that's like, okay, so there's two parts of me. One part is like, we should continue with the inauguration on the 20th. Don't let them win, right? Don't let them take that from us. And then another part of me is like, what's he doing having in the inauguration still on the steps, man? Do it at home. You know, do it in your living room.
Do it on Zoom.
That's fine. Right? We'll all watch. We'll be there. We'll honk our little horns. We'll go, beep, 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 you know, like, it's okay. It doesn't have to be, just stay safe. Like, I don't want anybody to get hurt, you know. And And this was horrible. And it was all incited by our president, which is even more horrible.
Well, it's been a slow burn over the last 4 years that this current president has been in power of...
Just feeds the fire.
Radicalizing susceptible people into this bizarre way of thinking that is very cult-like in nature.
And I can just imagine... I'm sorry, I'm totally interrupting you
yes,
tonight.
Yes, you are.
I'm sorry. I'm not doing a good job of keeping it in.
It's okay.
I can just imagine him... saying, I didn't tell them to go, you know, hurt people. I told them to make their voices heard, right?
Uh-huh.
Or something ridiculous.
Very good about that. About like not saying kind of dancing around what he actually means so as not to be held accountable later. He's done that his entire career. So our country for the last 4 years has been kind of slam dunked into the toilets on every front. We ruined our friendships with our allies. Our president was taking selfies with dictators and talking about how he fell in love with the with the North Korean leader. And so on, and it feels like every wrong choice has been made. And the divide between the rich and the poor has just been exacerbated, as usual, which usually happens when Republican presidents are in power. And that just fuels all of our country's problems. And so here we are, where a mob, an angry terrorist mob, has broken into where our Congress, our parliament, we're certifying our presidential election. And if it wasn't for the... actions of us, of like all of those police officers who were totally outmanned and outgunned and everything, if it wasn't for the quick thinking of a lot of people on the ground, it could have been way worse. And it makes our country look really bad. It makes us look bad. Like, I want to, like, I am a, right now, I'm a Fulbright specialist. I'm in the pool. That means I get to go represent our country and teach or perform or something to represent America and all we got for the arts at some point when the pandemic ends. But, like, all I'm thinking is just, like everybody's first question isn't about American exceptionalism. It's about, like, hey, is it really that terrible? Are all those, like, rednecks waving flags on the news, is that, like, everywhere in this country? And basically, I have to say, like, yeah... You get those types in the city. You get more in the rural parts.
Over the summer, there was totally a Make America Great Again parade that happened in the streets of this tiny little village that we're living in. I mean, it is tiny where we are.
It's like 5,000 people.
And all of a sudden, you know, we're down in our little basement bunker where we have internet and we're doing our puppet work and... you know, making kids happy. And in between shows, we hear chanting, USA, USA. And I'm like, what is happening? And they had decided to take over Main Street and just start marching down Main Street. I stayed in the bunker. I did not want to go up and see it. So
it was weird. It was like, so things that are forever ruined, I think I've been saying this before, it's like the American flag, it's forever tainted.
I don't
because
feel that
the,
way.
Because the people that wave that flag who are spouting all this nationalistic nonsense, I don't want to be associated with that. No way.
I don't feel that the American flag is tainted.
I will proudly fly the New York state flag because
yes,
that is something that I believe in and that I care in and I feel like is progressive and holds the values that I hold dear. But us on a national level, we have been messing up
hard. You know
what
I thought you were going to say?
What?
Red hats. Red hats for
yeah,
me
yes.
are forever.
Red hats are gone
no,
forever.
No, never again.
No more.
No.
Red baseball caps. Absolutely not.
Even the ones that are like meant to be funny, like I don't know.
Oh yeah, like they might have like a different inscription, like
yeah.
make racism wrong again, or
no, you just can't.
No.
Sorry, because the second I see it, I get like my heart starts racing, and then I feel like I need to go hide. So yeah. Fight or flight, flight. I am flight. Flight. All the way.
Go for it, man.
Flight. I am a really good hider.
So that's what's been happening in our country.
I'm Jewish. We know how to hide. I just want to let you all know the Jews know how to hide. But we also know how to fight now. So, yeah.
So we were looking forward to 4 years of groveling before our allies and telling and opening back up our borders and getting things back to semi-normal, which is happens in our country. We have two political parties. One drives us off the cliff. The other will bring us back up from the brink and kind of like rebuild things to a point. It's this weird bipolar thing that our country has. So we were looking forward to that. Now we're kind of like the fear has taken hold. But it is, and here's our transition, it is our job as artists, especially people who work with kids, to just throw all that stuff out and make people happy, because we need more joy and more laughter in the world. And it doesn't matter what your ideology is. You know, kids don't have any of that, you know, and we're often the first bit of theater that we're like theater ambassadors almost for kids, you know, and we're also like ambassadors for puppetry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're here to spread some joy and spread some laughter and forget and for us to forget for at least 60 minutes that all that stuff is outside of the safe space. And we're here just to have a good time. So let's talk about puppet stuff. Puppet stuff.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. I have a lozenge right now because I did three shows in one day.
Menthol.
It's 2021, and we had like a pretty good Saturday, which is awesome for January.
Yeah.
We've had like a lot less work, like all of our compadres out mm-hmm. there, but we're still streaming, still going strong, filling up those Purim bookings. But I did like three shows in one day, and it felt like, ah, man, good. We had like a long winter break in between like holiday shows and these new shows of the mm-hmm. new year, where it was like nothing, crickets. Yep. And it always makes me anxious inside of just like, oh man, what's going to happen? And then those thoughts start creeping in of like, maybe you're not actually good.
No.
Maybe there'll be no work ever. Maybe that was the best time. Maybe the golden years are done. Yeah, those start creeping in, and all it takes is like one or a couple performances to expel those thoughts and be like, nah, get out of here.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. kind of what's been happening in our world. Is it's January, it's a couple weeks into January now.
Well, Chad and I are like in two different Wonder Spark worlds in mm-hmm. a sense, because yeah, you're doing a lot of the performing mm-hmm. right now, and it's still happening. You're still performing. You had four shows this weekend total, which is great. And
there was so fun. I did a couple different birthday parties. Let's see. Oh, and we got someone in chat, Jao, the Lopez family.
Oh, we love you too, and we miss your shows in Brooklyn. Oh, maybe they came and saw us at Beyond. Industry City, maybe.
I think their thumbnail looks kind of familiar.
Arden is one of your most loyal fans. Aww.
I'm so sad to say that we got an email from our most consistent residency for was it 4 years?
At least, yeah.
Yeah, at the Bed Bath & Beyond. Our contact person was let go, and they don't know when they're going to have people performing in that spot anymore. But you can bet as soon as we all get vaccinated, we'll be right back there, and I will be calling that place every day saying, hey, well, you want to get people back into your mall, let's do some puppet shows, guys.
Yeah. Arden misses us. So we'll let them know. For Arden, we will come back. Yeah. We miss everybody in New York City, and we miss mm-hmm. performing. We are going to be doing a couple of, we're going to do some Purim shows in March, mm-hmm. Or actually February this year, February. I think. Yep. And then we're going to be, you'll advocate for us? Thank you so much. Thank you. That is very kind. And we really appreciate it. I mean, everybody's kind of going through this, especially performers. I can imagine musicians the same. If your venue is, you know, not feeling stable, then it's like, where are we going to perform when we go back? But I mean, we're hoping for the best. And, you know, of course, we're super appreciative of the Springville Center for the Arts out here in Springville in mm-hmm. Western New York, who has given us a residency since we came out here in June. And then when we said we think we're going to stay, they said, no problem, you can stay. So we're really thankful. And to all of our fans and friends who have been so supportive throughout this whole thing. You know, and we've been doing these podcasts every week to kind of just like, it's in the sense, it's a time capsule for us to be like, this is what life was like, although I don't know that I'm ever going to listen to it. But
I mean, no, but it's like we existed, we happened.
Yeah, and it's a way for us to check in with you guys too, to be like, yeah, we really are real people. We're real parents with our 5 and 7 year old boys, and mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's tough, man. And like puppet stuff this week for me has been I'm working a lot on making connections through puppetry, which is the professional development workshop series that I put together through the Jim Henson Foundation, which is my day job. And it teaches teachers, counselors, and therapists how to use puppets in a classroom or therapy type of setting. And specifically, the focus for right now is with kids with autism. But it can also just be with kids, whether they be developmentally disabled or neurotypical or whatever. I mean, they work on all different levels and all different areas. It's a tool. It's another tool in your toolbox. And I also sometimes give courses for parents, too. So I'm looking at maybe offering something in the spring for parents one of these evenings. So stay tuned for that. But right now, we're gearing up to do our very first fully virtual PD, all of the sessions. That's a
PD means?
Professional Development Workshop. So I don't know, the slang is a PD. Everybody calls it a PD. Mm-hmm. So
that's through the Kennedy Center.
Yes. So we got a contract through the Kennedy Center VSA program sites. And so we are now administering that contract through the Kennedy Center and through the Jim Henson Foundation to offer these courses. And District 75 gets their own course slots. That's New York City's special needs school district. There's only, I think, 3 or 4 slots left in the District 75 slots. So make sure to sign up. And if you need more information, you can contact us through our Facebook page. But there's information on hensonfoundation.org/PDW. Also, you can take the public courses. Those are available for anyone who's working outside of District 75. And they're even available for people who are working internationally. As long as you're an educator, counselor, therapist working with kids with autism, you are welcome to take the course. And they're heavily subsidized, so all you're paying for is the puppet kit, which we will mail to you. So please sign up so that we can get that to you.
Yeah, we got to give a shout out to both our friend Marika in chat and also our friend Mary. Yay. Happy everything.
Yes, and we love both of you so much as well. Mm-hmm. And Marika, I've been seeing your drawings that you've been posting, all the cool things that you've been doing. I love watching your artwork, and watching you evolve as an artist is really inspiring for me. It makes me want to try to keep making more stuff.
So our kids, so big news around the house. We've been staying with my parents because they have a big house, in the log house in the country that I helped to build. I think I helped, not this room, but the there's some things I painted. Like I helped stain. Staining takes a long time sometimes on those logs. And painted a number of these rooms.
Nostalgia.
So, yeah, I know. Nostalgia. But, so we've been staying here, and for the first time, the parents have taken a break. They've taken a vacation. They've gone off to see my sister in at their place in Florida. It's a good time to go if you're a snowbird, because it gets really crazy icy and snowy out here. It was just sprinkling some not salt, but anti-ice mixture on the end of the driveway because the car has been... So if this is the driveway, I'm going to be like our 7-year-old. This is the driveway going into the road where there are cars. I get to... Our car just comes right up here, goes... And then try to come to a complete stop, because if not, it just goes brake. You know, if the anti-lock brakes just go start coming in. Yeah, it's bad. So tomorrow I'm gonna get a shovel and break up the ice at the end of the driveway. We're isolated right here, and parents are gone. It's an empty house for the first time since June.
We're like parents, like alone again. Like we're alone with just our kids again since June 1st.
It's strange. It feels weird because there's always been a TV on playing the news. Hi, Mom.
Well, I have...
Or Law and Order.
I have
or a House Hunter show.
Tonight at dinner, us and the kids were eating dinner together without the grandparents. And we were saying, oh, yeah, so Grandma and Grandpa are going to be gone for about 3 weeks, just reminding them a little bit. And they were both kind of like... Uh-huh, yeah, all right. And then who was it? This Finn, wasn't it?
No, the older one. The older one was like, good.
Oh, no. And then the other one said, it means no more news.
Yeah, that's true. Right? Yes. The other one was like, no more news.
No more news, because the news is always on.
Yeah.
And
it's hard to escape the, like, things you can't control if the news is always on. Like there's nothing we can physically do about what's happening on the national scene, but if you just hear it in your head all the time, it influences your thinking.
And I mean, I listen to NPR often, but then I also listen to music and like don't have it on all the time. And I don't watch the news. I listen to the news and I read the news, but I don't watch the news. So it's I think it just makes it a lot less visceral. When you're not actually seeing it, and I'm able to function better overall. And that's not to say that our kids don't watch TV. Today I had to get a lot of stuff done, so they watched a lot of PJ Masks. Thank you, PJ Masks. Thank you. You were definitely a huge help to me today, because my kids were happy and I was able to catch up on a lot of stuff. But
they marathoned that.
You know what? It's okay.
Yeah.
Because that's not going to happen next weekend. It just had to happen today.
Yeah.
So
tomorrow it's back to school, back to streaming school.
Yep.
Because we've been streaming 100% for this entire semester, and for this new semester, that's what's happening. And they're doing really, really well, you know, with streaming school. They get it done. They get the work done, and it's ingrained routine, which both of them really respond really well to. So we're really happy about that. So enjoy Florida. Parents will be enjoying a eerily quiet house. And they took their dog, too. They took their big standard poodle. So I got nobody to walk with me.
No, the cat's super excited. She's like, woo, woo, I won.
That's right.
Because she was definitely like alpha catting for... the last couple weeks, she just made a decision a couple weeks ago. I will be the animal in this house who is in charge. I am top cat. And so
there was a confrontation.
Yeah.
And the dog like submitted, and the cat was victorious. And the cat has been sitting on the couch next to the TV with Grandma in a new spot, just hanging out all day because she likes to be with people.
Yeah.
And since we moved upstairs, she's not been around people enough, so she just likes to sit with people and just hang out, and that's her new favorite spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now it's weird because she went through all that, and now they just left.
And then they left and took the cat. So, I mean, the dog. So, I just wonder if she has the capacity to like add it all together. What she's thinking, like, did I do this? Am I like Kevin McAllister? Did I wish them away?
I made my family and their dog disappear. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to this week. It'll be interesting. Parents gone, slightly different routine, right? Mm-hmm. Like different dynamic around the house.
No, it's good though. We needed to be able to like do everything on our own again. You know, like, I mean, it's a good reminder, like making dinner 5 nights a week, like actually 7 nights a week.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point I'm going to have to go grocery shopping in the next day or two. And,
man, having gone grocery shopping, like for real grocery shopping in a long time, staying with our parents, because our parents, their routines are ingrained and this is their house. So, we just tell them, hey, can you get like a couple things on your shopping list?
Because and that's been it. They just get what they get, and then we just eat whatever's here. And
yes, we've eaten so much meat.
Yes, so I'm looking forward to not eating as much meat at all. I was looking at my friend Paola makes these amazing vegan dishes all the time, and she's always like food porning them like all over the place, you know, like beautiful images. And the cat is definitely going to need therapy.
Oh, no.
I'll just poor add cat. That to the pandemic list of things that we're all traumatized.
I know. Well, no matter what, she has one more bit of trauma to go through, and that's the ride back home. Whenever that happens. Because
she'll be okay.
Yep. We had to trap her last time. I mean, it wasn't so bad, but, you know, sprinkling some catnip into the cat carrier for the car to get her in there and then zip it shut and for her to, on a trip down there, she was just whining. We're like, oh, okay, it's going to be okay. And then she peed and pooped in the cat carrier.
So gross.
Which is faux fur lined.
So gross. It was like while we were on the while we were bridge in,
we
or
were,
something.
Yeah, we were driving trying to get through gridlock traffic and the cat's like, I'm pooping. Sorry, pooping.
It was the worst.
It stank so it bad. So cat bad. Pee in the car.
And we had like 7 hours to go. It was the worst, but whatever. That was got leaving New York. It was.
Yep, that was the worst thing we had to deal with that day. Yeah. Who knew? At when we were leaving New York at that time, did you think in your heart of hearts that an armed insurrection, like terrorists trying to capture Congress people, was coming?
Yes, I did. Because do you remember back, not to be like, yes.
No, you can. But whatever.
Well, don't you remember back in at the very beginning of March when I had like a mini freak out? I just want to be honest. You know, I had the closest thing to a panic attack that I think I've had in my adult life. I had one as a teenager, but I'd never had one really as an adult, like for real. Except when I realized that the pandemic was coming, and that was like the very first week of March. Before anybody else was freaking out about it, I was freaking out. And I had my moment, and Chad was like, well, what's the worst thing that could possibly happen? And so then I went in my head, and I was thinking all the things, and I said to you, civil war. And you were like, well, that's not going to happen. And I said, I don't know that. And I'm sorry to
you
be like,
you should have said if this is over in 20 days.
What do you mean?
The next time I ask you what's the worst thing that could have, this is like Ghostbusters. You should say like sunshine and lollipops. That would be awful because
because everything that I've said true. Has come to pass.
Yes.
Well, I don't mean to be like I was right, but you know, I never wanted to be right about any of it, but this is the very first time that I've ever really put my foot down and said, we have to do something. And I know that this seems crazy, but you know, we have to. And then we ended up staying in New York for March, April, and May, because that also felt like the right choice, even though it was crazy then. But I didn't even know if we were infected. I didn't know. There was so much we didn't know.
No, nobody knew anything. So, how you doing, Z? You feeling okay?
No, I mean, yes and no. I know I've talked before about how it's like, it's right now is hard because I feel like I am feeling lots of very extreme emotions all at the same time, all the time. I'm like a 20-sided die of emotion, and I just keep on like finding the new one every like 10 seconds. I'm like, which one am I feeling right now? What about right now? Am I happy? Am I upset? Am I sad? Am I joyful? Am I calm? I don't know. So it's it's exhausting. I think the overarching thing is that I'm exhausted and I'm tired and I'm sad. And I mean, I'm relieved to be here, but I don't know. I don't know. I don't feel great. I'm happy that we're getting to continue to do the thing that we love, and I'm happy that we're here and we're safe, but I don't know. That's what's okay. Today? Today's the 10th. Yeah. So that means next Sunday is the 17th. I've heard that something might happen on the 17th.
Well, I mean,
and also the 19th.
A lot of things are getting thrown out there, and you know the inauguration's coming up. I think we mentioned that, and that's like people are pointing to that, mm-hmm. saying like there will be the next big terrorist attack. Who knows? Will there be anything out here in tiny little Springville, New York? Probably not.
Well, I don't know. They had that parade that one time.
I mean, there are people.
But they're planning things at all the different capitals in all the states.
There's plenty of Trump flags around here. A lot of them got taken down after a few weeks after the election, most of them. But, you know, those people still feel those feelings in their hearts. You know, like when religion and, like, political religion gets its hooks into you. You know, it's like one of the reasons that I don't really go for organized sports anymore is that it's definitely a religion. You know, it's like it's a religion where you're rooting for your team and against another team in a really extreme way. And I've seen many a fight and many a drunken, cussing fan saying really terrible things to their fellow human being, their fellow American, just because they were on, like, they wore the different jersey. And that's unacceptable to me, you know, like, so I still watch competitive things. I'm a really big fan of esports and League of Legends and stuff like that. But I don't root for any particular team because of that, because I felt like I was indoctrinated into many things, like, as a child, and now I can choose as an adult. I can choose to just watch something, like a competitive something, for the awesomeness that's, like, the physicality and, like, the sportsmanship, you know, like, how amazing these athletes or these nerds or whoever are at what they're doing. But I don't need to feel inside that I feel like this foaming at the mouth hatred for the other team, or the crushings, like the soul crushing disappointment when my particular team loses. I feel like those kind of tribal, primal feelings are not needed in today's world, you know. And let's do things that are more cooperative, guys. You know, if you like too much of, especially politics, on one particular party in this country is so extremely negative that they've crafted an entire alternate reality where, like, things are flipped upside down and, you know, black is I was going to say black is white, and so, and then I was like,
no,
because it's so racially charged. This is a terrible problem with racism in this country, and it's at the root, and people say anti-Semitism also at the root of the problem, the driving force behind all these terrorists happening right now. They don't see themselves as the bad guys. We are the baddies. You are the baddies. Don't do it. Don't do it. Come on. Like, I hope for peace, right? But I also hope for prosecutions. There must be consequences for these awful terrorist actions happening in our country at the moment in order for healing to begin. So if you're listening out there, future president of the United States.
Maybe Joe's watching our podcast. You don't know.
You can't get healing.
Maybe until he was the spam bot earlier. He was typing kisses.
You gotta suture that wound before it'll heal up again. Otherwise, it's just going to fester. I don't know. There's a metaphor in there somewhere, but, like...
Well, Pam Severns wants us for prom king and queen. Thanks,
yay.
Pam.
I will pop my collar at that. There we go. That's as best I got. I don't have a crown, but I got a little...
I have this hat. I can put this on. Does this look queen-like?
I don't know. Do I look 70s prom king? Maybe I can...
I never had a shot at my high school.
There, do I look younger? Definitely with some more hair in my face.
Ooh, Anyway,
I think I'm going to try and schedule a haircut because the Christmas die-offs from the virus are reaching their peak.
Don't say it like that. That's not nice. You can't say that.
The virus doesn't spread by itself. It only spreads when people get together, and tons of people got together on Christmas.
That's true, but then there are people who got sick, and you can't, I don't know, I just don't think it's very nice to say that. But,
I was waiting to get a haircut. Everyone said 7 to 10 days after Christmas or where it's going to be its worst, the virus, the pandemic, right?
I think you could wait another couple weeks.
You just want me to wait until I have a long, bushy head of hair. But the thing is if it gets any longer, right, it's going to reach that awkward phase between short and acceptably long where it's weird looking. That's why the beard is kind of long, too, because if you have a, long-ish hair and a short beard, it looks funny, you know?
I don't have facial hair, so I never really considered it, but...
Yeah, things I think about at 5 a.m.
And I just haven't gotten my hair cut, at all, and I don't plan to until this is over.
That's so nice and easy.
So... Well, I just made a decision. I was like, I don't need to get my hair cut, so it's okay. Mm-hmm. So it just keeps getting longer. Pretty soon it's going to touch my butt. And that's the way it is.
Okay. Wow. Maybe someday you'll have your Mulan moment where you're like, okay, pandemic over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Chop it. Cha-cha.
Wait, doesn't Rapunzel do that too? Doesn't she cut her hair?
No, check it out. Eugene cuts her hair in the movie. When I saw that, I was like, that could have been more feminist.
Oh, one of the most wonderful people on the planet just said that we're wonderful. Jesse is one of the most wonderful people. Jesse, I need to tell you that your messages, your daily messages of hope and affirmation have been amazing throughout this whole situation, and I really love you, and I just really, really, really thank you so much. 'Cause it's been tough, man. And then getting Jesse is one of the reasons that it makes social media a reason why I want to stick around on there, because I get to see really affirming statements from amazing people like him. So thanks, yeah. Jesse.
Yeah. I've just been an outpouring of anger on my social media from me just trying. I think that's my processing, is going on social media and barfing out anger at all the awful things happening that are totally out of my control. Right. But I was able to hang out with my friends. Yeah. Looks like MAGFest is canceled this year, guys. Wah, wah, sorry.
MAGFest is Music and Gaming Festival for video games. So it's a video game, music, and video game festival.
Yes, and I've been going every single year since 2003.
Since the second one.
Yes, mm-hmm. with all my friends, and we've met it's like a big friend family. So we all got together on Zoom, and we're going to get together more on Zoom, and we hung out and drank and listened to video game music and looked at old pictures, and everyone was like, that was 10 years ago. We're so old. Which happens every 10 years. You know, you look back and you're like, I was so young.
Oh, what did I know? Or, oh, I looked way better than I thought I did. That's usually part of it.
Oh, wow. That's nice.
I mean, I'm sure somebody out there can relate to that statement, but, anyway, yeah.
No, it was fun. It was fun to see everybody and hang out and be silly. And we might just forego MAGFest if it ever comes back. It's got some administrative problems, mm-hmm. where the baddies have ransacked the place and the wrong people are in charge. But, you know, that's kind of MAGFest in the nutshell in the last 5 or 6 years. So we might just rent a party house someplace, because that's what adults do. You rent a party house, and everybody chips in, and it feels like old times. I can't wait to rent a party house and get some pizza. I'm kind of hungry for pizza right now, and drink some beer and pizza, hanging out with my friends. Yeah, it's a good time, and playing Never Have I Ever and making each other laugh. Yeah, it's a good time. So Before we end.
Yeah.
There's one more post-it note up on the wall over there.
Which one?
The one that says other people's puppet shows, because I feel like we talk about ourselves and how we're feeling and stuff, mm-hmm. but people love stories, and we've seen, especially you, we've seen so many puppet shows. I feel like I want people to know about the best shows that you and I have seen. So if you could conjure up one good memory of one good show.
Yeah. Okay. Every I got week. One.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, this came from doing a little bit of research today for my Making Connections Through Puppetry workshop that I'm going to be teaching. Mm-hmm. And that is, I wanted to find some more examples of hand pantomime, where you just use your hands to tell the story of the show instead of using something on your hands. So, like, this hand could be a tree, and then this character could pick an apple off of the tree and put it down, and then climb up and pick another apple and then put it down. So, you know, you don't need to actually have them be like talking like this. They could just be their own characters. And there's some really brilliant examples. One example is Bert Tilstrom's Berlin Wall. Mm-hmm. That's a really classic example of beautiful hand pantomime. And then a couple more examples that I found were A Show of Hands, which were these little bits that were done on Nickelodeon, and you can find some of them. They're all in black and white, and I found some on YouTube, and I didn't even know that those existed on YouTube, so that was cool. And that came up because I was looking for, you asked me about a specific show, mm-hmm. Tim Lagasse at UConn, when he was at UConn, made a show called A Show of Hands, and it was using Czech black curtain of light. I'm not saying it right. Czech curtain of light theater, where you have like literally like a wall of light, and then everyone is wearing black velvet and black velvet hoods. So with like just mesh for eyes, so that you blend into the background, and your eyes adjust as the audience to only see the thing that's in the curtain of light. And so the only thing that you could see were these hands, and they had maybe like five or six performers with just their hands doing all of these short bits. And it was wonderful. And I had heard about it at UConn, but I'd never gotten to see it. And then they remounted it at Here.
Oh, wow.
In New York City. And I went to New York City and saw it. And I think that was the very first puppet show I ever saw in New York City.
Wow.
Was Tim Lagasse's remounting of A Show of Hands. I have the postcard somewhere.
And then that was, what, 2004?
It had to have been 2002 or 2003, because we all went. It was like a little envoy went together to go and see it. It was super exciting. And it was also, I should know, in the old Here space before they reconfigured it. Yes. And Great Small Works' Toy Theater Festival had Toy Theater Museum set up in the gallery space at Here during that time. So my first introduction to the New York City puppet scene was that it was like a mecca of puppetry, because I was like in this like kind of cool underground theater, because you had to go downstairs in order to see it. So I felt like I was like in some kind of like amazing underground situation. Mm-hmm. And there was like puppets on display already upstairs and like downstairs, like underground puppet theater. And by the way, the show is awesome, and it had won an UNIMA Citation of Excellence, which is like that one of the highest awards that you can ever win in puppetry. It had been invited to the National Puppetry Festival in Tahlequah, Oklahoma, and we've heard all these stories about Tim and the guys all going, and girls too, to the National Puppetry Festival, representing the University of Connecticut's Puppet Arts Program to perform that show, seeing Mr. Ed's Grave, the horse. So
wait, that's in New York City?
In Tahlequah, Oklahoma.
Oh, okay, all right.
At the National Festival when they did it there. So anyway, it was... It was so cool to get to see that show. And then I was thinking today, like, what are some great examples of hand pantomime? That show immediately came to mind. And also a show that I don't have access to a copy of right now, which is Aki Shinozaki did a hand pantomime show
at the O'Neill.
The Eugene O'Neill Theater Center's National Puppetry Conference. And it was beautiful. And it just hands, nothing on your hands. And I think that if you can tell a story like that, that is special. That's special. Because that's like, that's combining it all, you know? And then if you can do that, then you can even do so much more with something on your hands too. So it's cool. It made me want to think about, like, well, can I do a 5 or 10 minute story with just my hands? And what would that look like? Like, if I wasn't shown, if it was just my hands and the puppet booth, because that was an early exercise for hand puppet class, was doing a story with just your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me want to revisit that exercise. So that's my fun. Other people's puppet shows.
Yay.
Yeah.
I was thinking a lot about this. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
I was thinking a lot this week about the show Peter and Wendy by Mabu Mines.
Yeah.
Because everyone is celebrating the life of one of the founders of Mabu Mines.
Lee Brewer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who recently passed away. And he was born in the 30s, but he had such a long career, you know, writing and directing. And you took me to a remounting of that show, Peter and Wendy, and it was crazy. It was crazy to see to see all these big in the 90s, even bigger now, but still going back to the roots, puppeteers performing in this show. So these legends just being, you know, just doing their thing on stage. Wendy was, the Wendy in this show was portrayed by a black actor in, and in it kind of like a little bit older, but not too old. But it was an interesting choice, casting that role that way. And she is talking every single second of every single minute of the entire play, which is really long. It was like an hour and a half at least, maybe longer. And she's talking the entire time. It was like, outside of the beautiful moments and the beautiful puppetry and all the very special things that happened, just being at the end witnessing this woman go through like 100,000 sentences to bring this entire thing to its completion. Because I believe the text is just straight out of a book.
Karen Kandel.
Yeah, it might have just been like straight up the text from a book. She's talking and talking and talking and emoting and puppeteering sometimes.
Doing the voices for the different characters.
All of it.
Amazing.
At the end, I was just like, this is incredible.
And the whole show takes place in the environment of Wendy and the other kids' bedroom. Wendy, John, and Michael, right?
Yes.
Yeah. In their bedroom. And so then all of the different aspects of the bedroom become the pirate ship, become the plank, become the islands, become... It's just an amazing use of puppetry, of objects, of play. And it's just a beautiful piece. Really beautiful piece. That's cool that you were reminiscing on that. I was reminiscing on that today too. This week. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I heard about Lee Pratt.
I mean, yeah, there were so many great transformation moments. Like you said, like, because we're confined to this space, getting creative with stuff, taking stuff, transforming it into other stuff. We always try and have some moments like that. Audiences love transformation. The moment that always stands out for me, there's two moments in that show. One is when Captain Hook dies. Spoiler alert, sorry, Captain Hook dies in this one. the line is, his left breast no longer desired life, or something like that. Or I was like, whoa, what a way to say it, that like Peter's like stabbing Captain Hook. And it's like big Captain Hook puppets, you know, smaller Peter Pan, child Peter Pan, like infant looking face Peter Pan, older looking puppet. It was a great dynamic between these two puppet characters.
Basil Twist built those puppets and was the lead performer. And performing
in the show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That when they killed off Captain Hook, and because you're using puppetry, what do you call this kind of, I want to say like Bunraku puppets, but...
Tabletop, three-person puppets.
Three-person puppets. Those puppeteers are like flying the puppets all over the place. Peter Pan is flying around physically. Beautiful. It's a great use of puppetry. That ends, Tinkerbell, which is traditional for the stage play of Peter Pan, Tinkerbell dies, and the audience usually resurrects her by clapping, which is such a panto thing to do. Please clap! I remember watching the VHS tape of Peter Pan or Mary Martin as Peter Pan, mm-hmm. which I didn't know was a drag tradition straight out of panto, which is so cool to have a woman play Peter Pan and nobody mention it. So in Mabu Mine's Peter and Wendy, when Tinkerbell drinks the poison meant for Peter Pan and dies on stage... the woman who the entire narrator dies also because I think she like took the prop and you know mimed drinking the poison, and so because she's dead, there's no words suddenly out of nowhere there's no words, and she's been talking the entire time, and there's this beautiful musical moment, and all the puppeteers are dressed in white with white veils in front of their faces, and everything's white in the show. The puppets, Hook, Captain Hook, who is not dead yet. So Captain Hook, Peter, and a couple of the tabletop puppets, they're dressed up as the puppeteers with white veils, and they come over to her and, like, scoop up her body and puppeteer her a little bit until she, like, comes back to life. And it was, like, such a magical moment. Such a great use of puppetry. Such a meta kind of moment as well, but it really stood out to me and always stuck with me. So thank you so much to all the people involved in making that production. It was great. It was awesome to see one of the hallmarks of the glory days of puppetry in New York City in the 90s, who everyone who lived through that era always talks so highly of. So it was super cool.
And I should mention, I didn't know her personally, but Carolee Wilcox, who was a very active person in Muppets and the Jim Henson Company, passed away this week as well. And I didn't really know her very well, but so many of my friends did. And she was a very dear friend, and she was an amazing person. I did get to meet her once, and she was lovely, just like everybody said she was. And we hope that wherever her spirit is now, that she's having fun. Maybe her and Jim are reconnecting or something. I don't know. I don't know what I believe in with all that stuff, but I wanted to make sure to give a mention for her as well, because she was an important figure.
Cool. Yeah. Well, on that note, ladies and germs, thank you so much for listening. Oh, man. We are the Puppet Parent Podcast. We're coming at you live every single Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over at facebook.com/WonderSparkPuppets or youtube.com/NYCPuppets. Today was our... Oh, there it was. Excuse me. I was like, it's coming.
It's live, it's coming ladies up. And gentlemen. Live.
We had our very first spam bot in our YouTube live chat. It was banner day, but so we love it when people interact with us, so feel free to come on over. We've been consistently doing 9 p.m. For at least a couple weeks now, and I think we're sticking with it. Season two, we're sticking with it.
Woohoo.
Yeah, you can also listen to these MP3s wherever you get your podcasts, or check. Mm-hmm. You can download the archives over at puppetparentpodcast.com.
And if there's anything that you want us to talk about, just send us an email or send us a message through Facebook, and we will get back to you.
That's right.
Thanks so much. Have a great week. Make sure you take care of yourselves and each other. And if you're having a really tough time, make sure you find somebody to talk to, because that's we right. love you.
And we love you too, Jesse. All right. That's it for now, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.